Nations reel and stagger on their way. They make hideous mistakes. They commit frightful wrongs. They do great and beautiful things. And shall we not best guide humanity by telling the truth about all this, so far as the truth is ascertainable? W.E.B. Du Bois, The Propaganda of History, 1935. In memory of my father, whose immigrant parents named him Amerigo in 1924, the year Congress passed a law banning immigrants like them. This little book undertakes three outsized tasks, things that haven't been done much lately, things that seem to me in need of doing. It explains the origins of nations. It offers a brief history of American nationalism. And it makes the case for the nation and for the enduring importance of the United States and of American civic ideals by arguing against nationalism and for liberalism. A long essay, really. This book is at once an argument and a plea, a reckoning with American history, the nation at its worst, and a call for a new Americanism, as tough-minded and open-hearted as the nation at its best. Chapter 1, History and Nations. Nations are made up of people, but held together by history, like wattle and daub, or lath and plaster, or bricks and mortar. For a generation, American history has been coming undone, and the nation has been coming apart, the daub cracking, the plaster buckling, the mortar crumbling. This tragedy was foreseen. In 1986, the Pulitzer Prize-winning, bow-tie-wearing Stanford historian Carl N. Degler delivered something other than the usual pipe-smoking, scotch-on-the-rocks after-dinner disquisition that had plagued the evening program of the annual meeting of the American Historical Association for nearly all of its century-long history. Instead, Degler, a gentle and quietly heroic man, accused his colleagues of nothing short of dereliction of duty. Appalled by nationalism, they had abandoned the study of the nation. "We can write history that implicitly denies or ignores the nation-state, but it would be a history that flew in the face of what people who live in a nation-state require and demand," Degler said that night in Chicago in a speech titled, "In Pursuit of an American History." He issued a warning. If we historians fail to provide a nationally defined history, others less critical and less informed will take over the job for us. Degler was worried about his contemporaries, intellectuals who had stopped studying the nation, believing that the nation-state was on the decline. The world had grown global, tied together by intricate webs of trade and accelerating forms of transportation and communication. The future was cosmopolitan, they insisted, not provincial. Why bother to study the nation? Many of Degler's contemporaries also believed that studying the nation would prop up nationalism, which ought instead to be left to die. By the last quarter of the 20th century, nationalism was, outside of post-colonial states, nearly dead, a stumbling, ghastly wraith. And many intellectuals believed that if they stopped writing national history, nationalism would die sooner, starved, neglected, deserted, a fitting death for a war criminal, destroyer of worlds. Francis Fukuyama's much-read 1989 essay, The End of History, appeared 3 years after Degler delivered his speech, but it remains the best-known illustration of the wisdom of Degler's warning. At the end of the Cold War, Fukuyama announced that fascism and communism were dead, and that nationalism, seemingly all but the last threat to liberalism left standing, was utterly decrepit in Europe. European nationalism has been defanged. And that, where it was still kicking in other parts of the world, well, that wasn't quite nationalism. It was a halting striving for democracy. But nationalism did not die. It ravaged Bosnia and Rwanda. It carried to positions of influence and power, even murderous power, nationalists including Vladimir Putin in Russia, Recep Tayyip Erdogan in Turkey, Viktor Orban in Hungary, Marine Le Pen in France, Jaroslaw Kaczynski in Poland, and Rodrigo Duterte in the Philippines. 3 decades after Degler issued his warning, Britain voted to leave the European Union, and the United States elected Donald Trump, who went on to declare, "I'm a nationalist, okay?" In a new book, Fukuyama retreated from many of his earlier claims, insisting that in 1989 he had never exactly said that nationalism was about to disappear. But Fukuyama had hardly been alone in pronouncing nationalism all but dead in the 1980s.